any old time. I say love. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 7, which is part 2 of the Jim McCulloch podcast. We're going to dive right back into where we left it off in part 1, just as we got to Jim's career and the Green Peppers time. So in this episode we pick up right after that, so we pick up with Snow Goose and Jim's solo work, and we have some key sessions, live music in there as well. And we have a exclusive live track from Jim's future album called Anything Joe, the live track's going to be. And we chat about growing up in Lanarkshire and Motherwell and going to record shops and all that kind of stuff. So I hope you enjoy this one. I really enjoyed making it. And sit back, relax, and tell me what you think of it. So here we go. This is Jim's chance meeting with Anna Sheard, who sings in quite a lot of his Snow Goose stuff. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I'll catch up with you at the end. Okay, thank you.
I did 3 Green Peppers albums, and the 3rd Green Peppers album, I had an idea in my head that I wanted it to be all like female singers.
Right.
So I chose, I asked some singers to help me out, and they all kindly agreed. But then I had this space that I was looking for one more singer, and I couldn't think of anybody that was, you know. So my friend Dave McGowan, he played like bass on a lot of that material, and he now plays with Teenage Fan Club and Bell and Sebastian. And I just asked him, can you think of anybody that you could possibly ask? I said, well, my flatmate Anna, she sings. All right, okay, kept that quiet, Dave. She sings around the kitchen. She's never recorded before. I kind of trust Dave pretty much. What he did was he made a wee home demo on his phone. It was Anna singing Only Love Can Break Your Heart by Neil Young.
Right.
And Dave just playing the guitar, and it was just hearing her voice for the first time, just totally blew me away, you know. And that's just fantastic. And she came down to the studio and she was such a natural. She'd never been in studio before, but it's as if she'd sang for years and years. She was so just beautiful, natural singing voice, and it just, I just fell in love with her voice. And after we finished that album, I thought, right, I really want to write an album for Anna to sing.
Right.
So that is the beginning of Snow Goose. So I set about writing songs for her specifically to sing. And Dave was playing the bass and playing keyboards, as multi-instrumentalist that he is, you know. And so there was a great pool of talent there to start with, you know. And then Anna came in and sang the songs. She was quite happy to do it because I think she enjoyed, you know, the recording process. And yeah, so from then that was the first Snow Goose album, Harmony Springs.
Thank you. Like 2012, Harmony Springs.
Yeah, 2012. My God, a long time ago.
I mean, that was eight. There was an 8-year gap between Harmony Springs and the second Snow Goose album.
Yeah, Making of You. Yeah,
Making. Was that just down to just life getting on the road?
Yeah, when Anna, she just started a family as well. And she moved down to England. So there was a lot of things happening and you know, I had young kids who were growing up and all the rest of it. So it's like we had to put it on the back burner for a while, you know, but we always knew it was there, and you know, we got it together, and I got conversation with Anna, said I'd like her to actually contribute more than just singing, and she was more than happy to do that. So it became much more of a collaboration, the second album. So that was lyrically and melodically, she put a lot more input into it, and I think it's a stronger album for it. You know, it's like it brings her much more into the center stage. You know. Yeah. it just felt right for me, because this was something that I'd always wanted to do, was like work with somebody and like on a that equal basis as well, you know. So I think it was just one of those natural things that happened, and it sounds great.
Hearts on fire, new desires to discover, on their way, traveling hours through the night. Meet at the close of day, their vivid faces say everything, everything, everything. Fire, new day.
so smooth, and the melodies and the harmonies that you—it's effortless, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful album.
It hangs together really well. I mean, considering the length of time it took for us to get it together, you know.
Right.
We kind of just sort of feeling our way at first, you know. Really, didn't really know how it was going to turn out, and we just added bits over time, and just having to working with people like John McCusker plays like fiddle on it.
Yeah.
He's from over Uddingston way, View Park, you know.
Yeah.
And then Ken McCluskey Dave McCluskey from the McCluskey Brothers and Bluebells. He played like hammer dulcimer on it. And, you know, and pulling in favours like that, and it just made it, you know, bigger than the sum of its parts, and it just all knitted together really nicely.
So did you set out on saying like you were going to write that album based around Anna's voice? You already had the concepts, all the songs ready to go, and
not even as far as that. No, I just had like a couple of ideas in my back pocket that I wanted to, you know, turn into fully fledged songs, but I didn't necessarily want to sing them. And then I thought, well, we can make this work. I mean, the music's kind of like influenced by like the 1960s folk rock music, like the Birds and a bit of Pentangle, and just bands like that I've always kind of listened to. I love all the acoustic music thing. But having like Anna sing them, it just gives it another twist, I thought, you know.
Yeah, it gives it, as you say, it gives it a unique twist as well, you know. It really stands out. I'd heard Snow Goose before, but I hadn't really honed in on it as much. And then when I did, you're like, you know, this really does stand out. And it's an album that you want to have in your collection. It's one of the ones you think you can stick this on, makes you feel good. You know, it's got that, all the melodies, I see all the melodies running through it, and your guitar playing, and it's amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, no, it's great. And
you want to go back and listen to it now?
Oh, I dig it. I'm recommending it.
I must give it a listen.
Here comes a daydream deep in the night, finding from nowhere, crossing the path, gotta keep. Golden wings, so many a thing. Golden
all the stuff is just, it's dead dreamy. I wish I could do half of it, to be honest with you.
I mean, to be fair, it's not just me playing the guitar on it. There's three guitarists involved in that record. It's myself, and as I said before, Dave McGowan.
He's
just one of these multi-instrumentalists that makes you sick because you can play anything within half an hour, you know. And also Raymond McGinley of Teenage Fan Club, he plays on it as well. And so there's bits of him, there's bits of me, and there's bits of Dave, and it's all kind of mishmashed in, you know, and it works pretty well, you know, as a whole. But it's the thing about, it's like when we were in the recording, when John McCusker was playing his fiddle part in a couple of tunes, he would run the track five times, you know, and he would play something completely different each time. And how do we get this to sit as a, you know, as one piece, you know? So we just kind of edited like down like five different solos and it became one solo, you know. So it's just one of these kind of artistic things that people see the thing, it's like seeing the swan floating across the water, but all the work's getting done underneath the surface, it's our job to try and make it look as seamless as possible.
Yeah, so, well, it works, definitely works.
Okay, no, it's good. It's like, when I heard an album like Pet Sounds for the first time, the Beach Boys album, how did they do that, you know? But it's a lot of hard work, you know, it's just hard work. Clocking into the studio, putting the hours in, you know.
It's the end product that, you know, it speaks for itself once it comes out.
Hopefully,
it's great stuff, and it's opened my eyes to like a avenue I want to get down and listen a bit more of that. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much, because it's...
Oh, no, you're very welcome.
It's great. I can't think of any other superlatives to say, but it is a great album.
Thank you. You're also quite lucky with the Snow Goose thing that Anna and I can do it as a duo as well, just myself and her. We did a key sessions just before lockdown.
Yep.
The BBC programme, and that was just basically myself and Anna, and then our friend Tim, who was playing some pedal steel. And we've had some great feedback from that, you know. I think we can probably still find it on YouTube. I think it dropped off iPlayer, but it's out there somewhere, you know.
It does.
But that's the thing. You got to be flexible, you know. Instead of having to wait for everybody to be available, we could shoot out. And we did a tour with Roddy from Idlewild, the two of us. And that was a great support. It was just the pair of us in a car driving about doing that. So that was definitely good fun.
This is a track off the new album again. This one's called The Optimist.
I've seen all the wrong faces in all the wrong places. Answer me, and take my misfortune. Rise in the morning, live like the mayfly. Live by day, and gone by night. I will return on a wing and a prayer, and will float alone. Passion, passion, and yearning, light never ending. Come to me with flashes of brilliance, silver and diamonds. Reap all before ye, seize the day, and take the night. I will return on a wing and a prayer, and will float alone into the wind and the rain. Will surrender and beam fly by the full moon, light up my shadows. You're burning so brightly, bright for me, hot for me. It's killing me. I will return on a wing and a prayer, and will float alone into.
Title track of our first album called Harmony Springs. So it's not a sing along number, but you can certainly tap your feet to this one.
It was a cracking set, you know. It was like, aye. I think it's like 25 minutes, so I would recommend them that you go on. It's on, as you say, it's on YouTube. You'll get it on BBC iPlayer as well.
Yeah, I think it might have dropped off that now, but it certainly was there up until a couple of months ago. I try not to go in it. I've got an HD TV and I don't like looking at my mom kind of HD TV, so I prefer the blurry YouTube version.
Well, I suppose that's the thing, see, when you're an artist and you're out there, your face is always, you know, you're always on TV or you're always on a record cover or something. I mean, as Central Scottish guys, we're
it's
a
amazing.
Bit like...
When you start off, when we started off in the 80s, you're not thinking about, well, this will all be downloaded and available forever. Because you're not thinking like that at all. It's just that it was the time and you've made the video, it was on the telly once and you never saw it again, you know?
Yeah.
But that's, it's now there, it's all archived and my God.
But I loved your Key Sessions, it was great. And then you had, like, once you'd done songs from your second Snow Goose album, you finished off with the Harmony Spring songs, which was great. And you could see the audience were loving it.
We started recording the third album, so hopefully there's not going to be an 8-year gap.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I know, none of us are getting any younger.
So did most of your ideas come during or lockdown then, when you sat and guitar up?
Well, that's funny, because the third album, we didn't have anything written as such until January this year, or was it maybe December? And then we just made a focused effort and said, right, we're going to write some songs. We're going to start recording our third album. We need to have a date. We need to have a line in the sand. We need to have so many songs. So we just set about recording all the new material, and pass the demos, but, you know, up and down via WhatsApp, basically, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, even 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been really a possibility, but it's so easy now to collaborate.
Yep.
Somebody in another place, never mind. Remember, people used to say about, was it U2 and Frank Sinatra collaborating, as if it was a big, you know, it's a really big thing, that their version of Got You Under My Skin or whatever, you know. But now it's so easy to work with somebody else.
What would there be a typical songwriting process for you, Jim? How would that start? Does it start with, like, maybe a small chunk of lyric or a little bit of a wee chord progression on the guitar, just for, like, budding songwriters that's out there, maybe somebody like myself? Or
I think there's so many different ways of it coming together, but you're right about them. Just maybe jamming a wee couple of chords and you'll get a wee melody, you know, in your brain. You think, hold on, that's pretty good. So quickly record it and forget about it, and I come back to it and listen to it again. It still sounds good. Fair enough, you know. Follow it through, and then you just start playing around, and then you might get a couple of words or a wee phrase or something.
Right.
And you might not, you know. So there's but if you do, you just keep the phone next to you, you know, and that's it. And even, you know, it's always handy. In the old days, it was like dictaphone, microphone, pen and paper. But now you just need your phone and a guitar, and I think that's all you need. I mean, a lot of the tracks from the new Snow Goose album started that way, just wee snippets, and then I would send down like a verse of music, just me playing the guitar and singing a wee melody. I'd send it to Anna, and she got herself a wee old-fashioned Tascam 4-track recorder, and she learned how to use it. And so she would send it back up with my guitar from my phone as the back track, and then her vocal, and it would pass back and forth, and it would get tinnier and tinnier, you know, as the song progressed. But, you know, that's how it started. And then we would send them out to our favoured musicians who would listen to them, and then we went into the rehearsal space and, you know, worked them into full-bodied songs.
Right. You got a lot of Black Buick musicians that you use.
Whoever's available, you know. Who have we got the goods on that we can force into the video? All that stuff, you know. It definitely goes back to trusting your instincts, you know. It's like recording it and walking away from it for a wee while. Don't you know, over egg it, and just let it simmer away somewhere and come back to it. And if it still sounds good, then it's obviously something that's caught your ear, and, you know, it's worth working on, you know, and then you can build it up slowly. Or you can just go, right, I'm going to hammer this now, you know. And it's just depends how you want to do it. But at the end of the day, as long as if you're happy with it, then that's job done, you know. And I think there's kind of genres of music where you hear a lot about people working at material as like the country, you know, country music and stuff like that. There's like factories, there's people actually, you know, churning out song after song after song. And that's true, you know, that's what they do. They go to work in the morning, they clock in and they clock out.
Right.
And they write songs, you know, for a living. And it's a production line, you know. But at the same time, the art of that is to try and make it sound as if it's dead natural, you know. So it's mm-hmm. it's to try and hide all the joins, you know. And so that's where the art is. It's to make it sound as natural as possible.
Aye. After the second Snow Goose one, and then COVID had hit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you didn't get that out on the road. Is there a plan to take that out onto the road?
Well, yeah, and it'll be, we'll have to tie that in with the third Snow Goose album, because that's in the pipeline. That's already half recorded. We've already recorded the backing tracks for that. We convened 3 months ago in KM19, the studio run by Chemical Underground people.
Right.
So we got the band together for that. Anna and I had written the songs basically online, you know, just hitting the ideas back and forth across WhatsApp, you know, basically. So we ended up with a load of songs, and right, we're going to pick 11 of these and we're going to send them out to the guys, and then we're going to record them. So pretty much that's what we did. And we, you know, we made a concerted effort to, this time we're not going to wait 8 years, we're just going to go for it.
Good.
None of us are getting younger here, you know, so that's what we did. And it's half the finished. We're just going to, Anna was up again last week. She was doing, we're doing some vocal overdubs and stuff like that, and we get some other people in playing. And then it's just a matter of mixing it, really. And then hopefully by spring, it'll be ready to be put together. But because of COVID, once again, there's a huge backlog at all the pressing plants, and
yeah,
you know, the vinyl pressing plants. And it's a big issue because they're getting kind of hijacked by the big multinational companies again. Like Adele's got a new record coming out, so she clogs up the machine for everybody else.
Yeah,
pressing, it's because it's vinyl is the thing again, obviously. Mm-hmm. Vinyl, she'll be selling thousands and thousands of vinyl copies, whereas like smaller operations like us get, you know, cast aside until such times as, you know, so it'll be ready and we'll be ready to press it. So it's just kind of market conditions really, when we can actually get it to the pressing plant. But fingers crossed it's going to be like a summer
album.
That means that they've got our time to get our act together for shows and stuff.
For live shows, aye. And then would you try and combine the 2020 album and your new album and combine that material into one?
We'll have to, yeah, because we've never played those songs live, really.
Aye.
Maybe not in any kind of meaningful way. We've done them as duo. We've done them very, very fleetingly as, like, you know, one-off shows. But yeah, we need to get them played as well, because the songs change when you play them as well, because this new album, we hadn't really played anything from it, but the songs will change. That's another thing about the songs. They will, bits of them will toughen up a wee bit.
I suppose once you hear them live as a band, they tend to start to form and grow into their own type of song as well, don't they?
They do. They grow into themselves. I really believe that, you know. You don't just stick to the plot. Bits will take off and other bits you'll pull back, you know. So it's like a different beast by the end of it, you know.
Well, that's great that we're going to get another Snow Goose album, hopefully the middle of next year.
I'm hoping.
And then see you back on the road with a tour of that. That would be fantastic, and I'm sure a lot of people will be queuing up to come and see you.
I hope so. That's the plan.
I'll be one of them anyway.
Good to know.
There's him again.
No again.
Where would we be able to buy that? Because is any of the Snow Goose on vinyl?
Yeah, or? Well, they'll all be limited amounts of the first album left. But you would need to go to the Snow Goose. Find us online. We've got an online shop. I think it's just snowgoose.me.co.uk, you know.
Yep.
Or you can Google it, you'll find it. But the second album, Making of You, we released on a label called Glass Modern. And That's a London label. So they're quite easy to find as well.
Right.
If you look up Glass Modern, it was a chap who used to run Fire Records. They were affiliated to Creation Records mm-hmm. back in the 80s and early in the 90s. And he's reactivated it and he kindly offered to put an album out. So that's great. Not sure if the brand new album will be out yet. So I haven't really looked that far in advance. It might just be Back to Ourselves again.
Right.
But certainly the two records are out there and available. You can probably get them in. Order them from good indie record stores as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We played a wee show over in Straven called Frets.
Yep.
We supported the Bluebells. That was just in last month. And we played a couple of new tracks from that and they sounded great. So we've got the bug, you know, it's not going away, but we really do want to get out and play.
And Frets seems to be a really, really popular venue.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it is great. It's really, it's the middle of, if you're from a perspective, if you're not from the area, it's in Straven, which is right out in the kind of the sticks.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. You can't really say it, it's not. It's a beautiful hotel. Been to a few weddings there over the years. But yeah, it's a great venue, well spotted by Douglas, who curates it. He's from Straven, so he knows the area pretty well. And he's managed, the fact that he's managed to get all these artists to come there and play is just phenomenal. You know?
The minute you're back in there, or the minute you're back out the road, actually, I'm coming to see you.
Yeah, hopefully not too long.
Good. I hope that wasn't a nervous laugh there, Jim.
No, I'm just thinking, I need to get back. I just need to get out playing again, really. I really do.
Great. When we've got the Snow Goose one, and then we've got your new Snow Goose one.
Yeah.
Where does your own album that's just out, where does that fall in?
That's a good question. You know, that was because I went back to university, that was my final a project I had to complete for my master's degree. Mm-hmm. And so ended up with this album, and the bottom line, you're doing a master's, so you want to make it and bring it into the real world, so it's not just like a theoretical thing, you know.
Yep.
So right, I'm going to try and get a label to put this out, because I've spent all this time and effort and money to make it. I played it to a few different interested parties, and Violette Records out of Manchester, they picked up on it straight away.
So this is When I Mean What I Say, isn't it?
Yeah, When I Mean What I Say. Released it on vinyl, like a 10-inch extended play vinyl album. It's like 9 tracks, recorded in Glasgow, Gorbals Sound Studios. I managed to get Dave McGowan, a stalwart of many of my records, playing bass on it, and a friend, Adam Stearns, who's a phenomenal musician. He played the drums this time around, but he's another guy that can play anything. Mm-hmm. And a girl called Sophie Rocks, who's a harpist. I got her to play harp on a few tracks, and then a friend from university, Rachel Jack, who sang vocals on a tune called Shining Bright. Do, do, do.
Thank you.
So it's a good mixture of band and just myself solo stuff.
Yep.
But and within nine tracks and just getting it out there, it's just a great release for me, you know. Just so I didn't mean the fact that, you know, it's all kind of fully formed and Violet Records loved it as it was. It's a total bonus, you know. And then we kind of sold out the first pressing of that as well, and I had to go back to get a repress, and that get clogged up in the, you know, the whole situation with the backlogs at the pressing plants. But that's now available again. Second pressing is out there, and you can get it from Violet, you know, violetrecords.com.
And it's great. It's a 10-inch.
Yeah.
You know, it's again, it just makes it that bit more unique and that bit more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, yeah, mine's getting ordered for that.
It's a quirky thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite quirky, and it's part of a series of albums that they put out, you know. But each album is treated, you know, uniquely in its own right. And I mean, you can see that if you go to their YouTube page, there's three videos there for the three songs that were released as, you know, singles. But it's, as a record, it was really great to do, and it kind of relit my fire a wee bit as a solo musician, because I'd spent so long, you know, working with other folk. This is something I really wanted to do on my own, and, you know, make all those decisions, you know, and get out there. But once again, I couldn't play any shows, but hopefully there'll be a few solo shows as well as the slow news thing happening. So yeah, that's in the pipeline as well.
Because I was listening to some of that today as well, Jim, and like, Shining Bright is so catchy. You know, do it's just really, really catchy, right, for the word go. And I love Chorus the List, so that's a great song.
Oh yeah, thanks.
If I haven't got a clue, then I haven't got a heart. If I haven't got a heart, then I haven't got a home. If I haven't got a home, then I haven't got a smile. If I haven't got a smile, then at least I say I tried. There's a moral to the story, there's a sting within a tale. When I tell you love exists, when I sing the song of bliss, I can feel it in the air, I can feel it in my bones. Something out of nothing, and I'm ready to explode. It's a genuine expression, and it cuts me like a knife. I'm a finally accepted or rejected, nearly both. There's a moral to the story, there's a sting within a tale. When I tell you love exists, when I sing the song of bliss.
Great song. I want to know where you done the video though.
Oh, but I think the chorus of Lists. I did the video up in the moors outside the kind of outside Glasgow. You know, just up the hills. You know, so sort of wandering about. One of my friends had a mad iPhone 11 or something like that. And it was all filmed in a phone.
Cool.
So yeah, and it was a bit like hopefully nobody's going to be watching, you know. So it's like just sort of walking about the hills, singing into this, looking at this phone. It really was that. And then just back in the studio, doing all the post production work, you know, a wee bit of psychedelic influence going on. Yeah.
Your new stuff. It's so 60s psychedelic dreamy to me, but with that Americana twist about it.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the tracks on it that stands out for me is Come Little Waves of Light. Revert back to again, so that's a song Neil Young could sing for me, you know.
I can see that.
You know, it's the way you've written it again, you're playing the sublime, and the way it's all linked together, the way all the melodies tie in, it's a bit of perfection, to be honest.
Thanks. I mean, it was about the performance, because I'd recorded the vocals and the guitars at the same time, so I couldn't even edit it out or correct it if I wanted to, so it was. It was kind of the engineer's worst nightmare, you know. I'm just set a microphone in front of me and just and performed.
Yeah.
So that's those the ones, the songs on the record that are like that. That's they're all just like one-off performances. And it's not an engineer-friendly album, you know. It's just I'm just trying to capture the performance, and that's what I managed to do, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And then a new phase, Shining Bright, with Rachel singing it. She came down to the studio. She lives up Aberdeen way. She came down, and then they were doing the slosh to that one in the studio. And so that's as long as you can do the slosh to it, that's all I'm concerned about.
It's a great album. Really enjoyable. I've got mine in order, so I'm waiting.
Oh,
on that. 10 inch, and you're like, oh, it's perfect. That's just what you want. 10 inch EP, 9 songs. There we go. So would we see like kind of 2 paths for you then? Would we see a continuation of Snow Goose and a continuation of your solo stuff?
I don't see why not. I mean, I like the idea that you can sort of have 2 things on the go, and one's leapfrogging the other, you know, and you just try and keep the momentum going, because if you're an artist and you're doing your own thing, you got to keep yourself in people's, you know, just in their minds, you know, front and center, you know. So if I can write and collaborate with Anna and do Snow Goose and we're both still enjoying it, then we're going to do that, you know. At the same time, I've got other songs that might not suit what Anna's thing. So I want to explore myself. Then I can do that as well. So can I get the best of both worlds going?
There was a song come up today. It was one of your songs that was done at St. Luke's. Is it Anything Joe?
Hi. Yeah.
What album's that on?
That's not on any album. That was written for a specific part of my master's course. That'll probably end up on my next solo record.
Right.
So that's kind of an exclusive wee song. It was part of a university night at St. Luke's, and I'd written it as a response to a question, and it's about somebody being a prisoner and looking to get probation and stuff like that, and how this person's family were affected by him being in prison. So it was quite thought provoking material that I was uh-huh. you know, we were asked to tackle, and this was my response to it, you know. So yeah, it's
a great song. I came across it today and I was like, I don't recognise that off any track listing or something. Maybe
it's
I was
not there,
missing
that's
something.
Why.
It's not there.
So this is what happens when you're doing a master's degree, then that's you're obviously it's songwriting, so you're asked to respond in song. So I've got all these songs kind of stockpiled
right.
that I'm going to be pulling away at and chipping away at, and that'll be my next solo album along
yep.
the line at some point. So
oh great. So do you teach music at the university now?
Yeah, I do. I do a bit of lecturing.
Right.
So, you know, because I had to, you know, get a degree and stuff like that, so that's kind of starting again. That's all coming back to life. So,
oh, great. Yeah,
it's great. You know?
You've got the best of both worlds, don't you? It's just...
It seems that. I mean, I'm very, very lucky, and I know I'm, you know, that I'm doing something that I love doing and, and getting... paid for it.
and then when you're not playing or performing or recording, you're teaching the next generations or whoever.
The next generation again, you know, which, you know, one of these ones, you know, granddad here. But it's great. It's just like a lot of things that change, but a lot of things stay the same, you know, especially when it comes down to creating things. It's still the same impulse, and it's still the same. You need to get the music out of you, and how you best do that, you know. And it's just the delivery system's changed. You know, it might be a, you know, straight online, or it could be putting it out in a record, you know. But it's, you got to write the songs first, you know.
This is true. Aye. Just as you said, impulse there, it flashed a memory into my head of Impulse Records in Motherwell.
That's right. I every Saturday, and then, or is it the one in Hamilton, you know?
That's it. They had one in Hamilton and one in Motherwell.
Hitting the bus and going down to Motherwell, and then eventually moved to Motherwell, and then so it's just a walk up the high street, and then
John Menzies in the middle.
The big record section in Woolies as well. So
up at the top. So they did.
It was all there, all happening in Motherwell.
Did you have any? Sorry, I'm going to like kind of totally divert away here.
Good.
You're saying you were from Craig Newton in Motherwell. Did you come across the River Detectives at any point in time?
Definitely. Sammy Corey lived just up the hill from me. I went to school with his wee brother James, and but Sammy was always a wee bit older than us, you know. So they're like, oh, can he talk? He's got a guitar, but I want to talk to him. But that kind of way, you're kind of paralysed by fear, you know. These older guys that have got no guitars. But then eventually, this is the primary school, but I'm talking about when we went to high school. Eventually, you kind of knew who I was by that point. You said, you're friends with James and whatnot. And then he used to go up to the house and he would show me his guitar and, you know, play a few chords and stuff like that. So, I'd been singing for donkey's years, really.
Massive melting pot of talent that we're producing.
It's incredible. I was thinking about that recently after talking to you as well. It was like the amount of musicians that actually came from the school that I went to, just Our Lady's High School, around the same time. It was phenomenal. You know, it really, there was a lot of people that came out of that, you know.
Aye.
Just like the focus seemed to shift onto Glasgow at that point. I think Postcard Records, the indie label that was set up in Glasgow by Alan Horn, it opened the door, you know, and a lot of, you know, A&R people came up from London, you know, just trying to hoover up the talent, you know. But obviously there were some hits and there were some misses, but I think it was good that it opened the door to, you know, outside of, you know, the provincial places like Glasgow and, you know, Liverpool, Manchester, Newcastle. All these places had scenes of, you know, musical scenes, and they were developing at their own pace, and you know, there was not that pressure to succeed so quickly, and they could develop their sounds and stuff. This is obviously all before the internet, you know.
As you say, Postcard was, you know, when that took off, it was really quite a trendy thing for A&R men to come up from down south and snap up whoever they want and try to pull individuals away from bands and do things like that, take them out on their own. But you know, it was good for Scottish music because it got us out there, got us exposed a wee bit.
Absolutely. Onto the, you know, internationally, I mean, it took a, you know, 5 or 6 years for that impact to happen, but you know, everybody got there in the end, I would say, you know.
Yeah, aye, definitely. So who do you listen to, Jim? Do you listen to these days? Do you, is there any artists that stand out for you?
I'm not sure. I mean, I still kind of, that kind of age, when you're growing up, you're kind of stuck in a time warp to a certain extent. I'm still listening to people that I listened to back in the days, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love Burt Bacharach. I love the Beach Boys. I listen to John Martin. I like John Fahey. I like Pentango. I just loads of stuff, you know, soul music, Northern Soul. The Jam, just things I always listen to, you know. They don't really go away, and I might listen to other music that's kind of, you know, influenced by them as well. And that's one of the good things, I suppose, about Spotify, is like you can fall down musical rabbit holes, you know, and you discover new music, you know, and if you like it, then you go out and obviously you purchase it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's endless, you know.
So we've got a couple of other questions. What has been your favourite album out of all the ones you've been involved in through different genres? Do you have a favourite?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, I would like to say maybe the first fully-fledged Soup Dragons album, This Is Our Art, that's the one that was on Sire Records. It was the first record they made. It was with real money and real studios, you know. We were maybe, I turned 21 recording that record, and it was such a learning curve for us, because you're flung in a kind of a studio and you're expected to kind of live there and make a record. And we were 20 years old, you know, and it's like our heads are getting turned every which way, you know. But we were still trying to make this record at the same time, you know. And Ross, the drummer, was going through a big John Bonham phase.
Right.
He'd just learned to play the drums, and we were trying to get the sound right, you know, just finding our way how to record backing vocals and track it up, and how to sound a wee bit like the Left Bank, and how to sound a wee bit like the Beach Boys, and how to sound a wee bit like Led Zeppelin. And all this stuff was mishmashing in with our own perceptions and our own Glaswegian or Scottish approach, you know, and it became this kind of melting pot of different songs. It might be sound a wee bit messy, you know, but it's such a great record to record, you know. So yeah, I'm going to stick my neck out and say
stick with that one. Right, okay. What has been your most memorable gig performed and attended?
Performed, I don't know. I mean, like any of those Soup Dragon shows we did with NXS, playing in front of like 30,000 people. You're only on stage for half an hour, but there's such a buzz. But also saying that, I'm saying also the first ever Soup Dragon, I keep going back to the Soup Dragons, the first ever Soup Dragon show, playing at Splash One Club in Glasgow, 1985, supporting Primal Scream. First ever gig, that was such a rush as well. Yeah. And then the last show we did, this last Snow Goose show, Threats, Elton's Draven, that was phenomenal, because we were playing new stuff and it was such a long time since we'd played. It was like 18 months since we'd played before. Just so happy to be back on stage. Yep. You know?
Yeah, it's weird because you just say, you kind of go with your first and you go with your last, don't you? But, you know, it's a strange one. But just going on that one, so you're supporting NXS in front of 30,000 people. You come off stage. What do you do when you come off stage? Are you usually straight into the... How do you handle that?
Straight into the rider, basically. Yeah, straight into the booze. for a while we'd watch NXS, but there was also, because it was big arena shows, there was big backstage areas, and there would be like, we all became really good at playing pool and table tennis, you know. So there was all that stuff, you know. But reading books, listening to music.
Do you get to see the concert? Do you?
I could wander in and wander out and just stand at the side and you know, and watch what was going on. And just, this is like, our eyes were getting open to this, hard, you know, completely different level. You know, these guys flew around in private jets, for God's sake, you know.
So,
different way of life. You know?
Yeah. We were worrying about getting vinyl back through customs and having
exactly. So, I know, but that's when you would find where all the good second-hand vinyl stores would be, and you'd hit them every time you went to that town.
And what would be your favourite gig you've been to?
That's a strange one as well. Maybe a Barrowland show. I think I saw the Smiths in there in 1984, 1985. I think they were late coming up. They'd been playing Top of the Pops or something the night that day or that night, or they were playing a TV show, and they were late coming in, but it was just such a buzz to see them, you know.
Yep.
Just the Barrowlands, just the roof, mm-hmm. blew the roof off, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just so many shows in the bars that I went to see around that time. It was a great time to see that music.
The bars was the place in the 80s, wasn't it?
Totally was, yeah.
Super. Right, here's a tricky one for you, right? So this is my final question. To sum up the Soup Dragons in three words.
pop, art, trash.
Right. That's what we're going with.
Pop, art, trash.
Yeah. Pop, art, trash. Cool. Right. Okay, that's my question.
Not bombshell, yeah.
No, I thought the questions were quite good.
They were very good.
They put you on the spot a wee bit there. That was good.
Slightly, yes. Slightly perturbed, yes. 55 and I'm coming alive, you know what that
means? Aye, well, that's what we want. That's it.
Exactly.
Time to take control. Jim, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, Dougie. Thanks again,
Jim. Man. I'll see you out in the road
soon.
See
you later.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jim. Bye.
Bye.
Well, everybody, that's where we end the podcast there. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did making it. It was such a privilege to chat with Jim. We spoke about so much. Really, really enjoyed it. And what a life, what a journey Jim's been on. And there's more to come, which is even better for us as fans. So please go to Violet Records, purchase Jim's material. Watch out for him playing across the country. Watch out for him playing at Frets and Straven, which is a wonderful place. And hopefully get to see him on the road soon. So we're going to end this podcast with a live song that he'd done at the Key Sessions with Anna. And it's called Apple Sun. It's beautiful. So get a listen to it. Here we go. Apple Sun.
Carousel is almost done, and I was so much in thrall.
gentle wind you floated on was good to me down here below. A grateful earth you warmed us all, and I was so much in thrall to yesterday's shadows. And I will remedy all with yesterday's shadows. Hold me, guide me. How long must I roll on the apple sun? The apple sun. Apple sun. The apple sun.